Right. Okay, Things I Used to Do, and that is by Eddie Jones. Let's see what it has to say about that. Hope it's stopping a little bit. I think maybe that storm has passed through. Hope everybody is safe. Okay, so we're playing this Both Sides of the Sky, Jimi Hendrix, double LP. And, okay. In addition to the previously unreleased recordings, Both Sides of the Sky includes a rendition of Guitar Slim's Things I Used to Do. Jimmy was joined by Cox, Johnny Winter, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young drummer Dallas Taylor. Although not featured on this recording, Stephen Stills was also present at the session. Winter was riding high on the release of his self-titled debut album, recorded by Hendrix's engineer Eddie Kramer, issued the month before this impromptu session. Hendrix had met Winter in January 1969, jamming with him at the Scene Club, where he borrowed Tommy Shannon's bass and flipped it over so that he could play it left-handed. It's great. So the next one is Georgia Blues. What does he have to say about that? Featuring Lonnie Youngblood, included some old friends from Hendrix's pre-experience days as an undiscovered itinerant sideman, a Youngblood with whom Hendrix had backed R&B artists such as Curtis Knight and the Squires, voiced this superb 12-bar blues. What did I just do here? Okay. neatly underpinned by Hendrix's sublime rhythm and lead guitar work. Georgia Blues was originally featured as part of the soundtrack for the PBS television documentary series Martin Scorsese Presents the Blues in 2008, but has since been commercially unavailable. It makes its welcome return here. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Lana Youngblood on vocals and the sax. Whew, that was, the guitar was just gorgeous. Oh my, I'm having a good time. I hope you are too. So, let's see what it says here. The next one is Sweet Angel. And that was recorded at Olympic Recording Studios, which I have been to. That was in London, January 28th, 1968. You've got Jimmy on guitar, bass, and vibraphone, and Mitch Mitchell on drums. And let's see what they say. Okay. Hendrix was brimming with new ideas by the close of 1967. Two groundbreaking albums and four successful singles in the 13 months since his arrival in London barely made a dent in the stream of superb new songs he hoped to record. With Axis Bold as Love only just released, Hendrix returned to Olympic Studios and immediately turned his focus to recording what would become Electric Ladyland. This gorgeous instrumental reading of Sweet Angel, one of his most beautiful ballads, features Hendrix on guitar, bass, and vibraphone, joined by Mitch Mitchell. Hendrix had routined a number of demos, some with him playing to a primitive drum machine and others with him tackling all the instruments, including drums, but he had yet to complete the song to his satisfaction. It is unknown why Hendrix never completed this version and included it as part of his landmark sprawling double album, Electric Ladyland. Thankfully, he revisited the song in 1970, and that version, known now as Angel, was a highlight of 1971's Cry of Love. Right. annoyed? Are you annoyed? some people are, by all the noise from planes departing Logan Airport. These days, our towns west of Boston are affected by increased airplane noise due to the FAA's Highways in the Sky decision. This means that every single airplane departing from runway 33L on days with northwest winds continues on four narrow paths over specific neighborhoods with near constant noise as a result. Boston West Fair Skies is trying to change this. For more information, including how to join the mailing list and file complaints with Massport and your elected officials, please visit bostonwestfairskies.org. A public service message from Boston West Fair Skies and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. Yeah, I live in Belmont, and there's an active group trying to deal with that. So a lot of voices banding together hopefully can have some effect, because if you don't, you're going to be drowned out by the noise. Okay, so there. What happened? Okay, it got really loud. Okay, so now, now I have to turn this over. We're on the last side, folks. Okay. Okay. So now we're up to Joni Mitchell's Woodstock, which I spoke about a little bit earlier. And but there's a little bit more information about it that I'll share with you now. So Stephen Stills, he was enthused about this song, Woodstock, a new song recently composed by Joni Mitchell. Hendrix had met Mitchell in Canada the previous year and was impressed by her unique talents. Stills began on guitar, providing lead vocals, with Hendrix accompanying on bass and Miles on drums. The assembled group wrestled with the Woodstock melody, each player trying to establish their individual parts on the fly. After three takes, Stills moved to the organ, and the song quickly took form, needing only two additional takes before this mastered take was achieved. The master was tapeable before Stills would lead his cohorts, Graham Nash and Neil Young and David Crosby, to record their own version. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young would issue Woodstock as the lead single from Deja Vu in March 1970. Hendrix's version has remained unreleased until now. Okay.
God, he was walking along the road, and I
Oh, yeah. And it looks like it's calmed down outside. I think the rain is abated for the time being. I hope everybody is safe and dry. All right. I really enjoyed Woodstock. That was great. And, of course, it's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. All these things are coming, like the moon landing. I don't know if you've been watching. They've had some great programs on WGBH. If you haven't had a chance to watch any of them, it's quite astounding that we actually did walk on the moon. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. I can remember, you know, that happening. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the technology, things that mankind is capable of when we put our minds to it. The other thing is the anniversary. I think it's 20 years since John Kennedy Jr. John Jr. died. In that terrible airplane crash, he and his wife and his wife's sister, Jacqueline Bisset. So, yeah, there's some anniversaries of things that are happening. Okay, the next one is Send My Love to Linda. Okay, so, says, January 1970 was another productive period for Hendrix. As the month progressed, he split his time between mixing the Band of Gypsies live album at Juggy Sound Studios with Eddie Kramer and staging enthusiastic sessions at the record plant with Cox and Miles. Following his work at Juggy Sound on January 16th, Hendrix and Kramer headed to the record plant to meet Cox and Miles. Hendrix then presented a rough sketch of the medium tempo ballad Send My Love to Linda, tapping the body of his Fender Stratocaster with his hand to create a unique percussive sound effect. Despite its considerable promise, Send My Love to Linda was not yet fully developed. As this is music Hendrix never completed, it has been suffixed here by an edit, which joins three sections of the song to showcase this fascinating work in progress. It serves as an illustrative example of how the guitarist used the recording studio to develop new material from the ground up. Hendrix would incorporate rhythm patterns that he refined over time by way of repeated playing, either on his own, together with Billy Cox in a hotel room, his Greenwich Village apartment, or as part of a group setting such as this. "We weren't playing by notes," explains Cox. "We were playing by patterns. It was kind of weird, but that's how we thought. We were always trying to hook these patterns together to make songs." One such example of a rhythm pattern Hendrix sought a home for was the descending bass line he plays in the September 1969 version of Woodstock, which we heard. This can be heard within Woodstock starting at approximately 3:50. For this January 1970 recording of Send My Love to Linda, that same pattern provides the main figure heard in the band segment of the song, only now performed faster and expanded to include unison playing with Cox. Like Easy Rider, Freedom, and so many other Hendrix classics, the guitarist's idiosyncratic approach to composing was founded on this technique. "With Jimmy, the idea was always first," details Cox. "Then, when he figured he had played the idea long enough, it went from there to a groove." All right. I love these liner notes. It's fabulous.
I'm sending all my love to you. Send my love to Linda. She lit a fire way down inside. She made that sunshine in my eyes. God, let me hold her once more before I die.
That could have gone on a lot longer for my money. That was, I like that. All right, well, we're coming to the end of this fabulous session. The last one is Cherokee Mist, recorded at the Record Plant in New York on May 2nd of 1968, with Jimi Hendrix on guitar and sitar. That's interesting. And Mitch Mitchell on drums. So let's see what they say about this. Cherokee Mist was recorded in May 1968 and is noteworthy for the use by Hendrix of a choral electric sitar. Eric Burdon and the New Animals had scored a recent chart hit with Monterey that featured the prominent use of this instrument. That single had been produced by Tom Wilson, co-owner of the Record Plant, and the person responsible for bringing Eddie Kramer from London to the newly opened studio. It is not known who provided the instrument to Hendrix for this session, but as he so often did with instruments available to him in recording studios, he found a way to creatively put it to use. Working alone with his drummer, Mitch Mitchell, Hendrix crafted this dark, brooding instrumental suite, combining his electric guitar, wah-wah tone control pedal, electric sitar, and mastery of feedback. Enjoy. All the liner notes were written by John McDermott. And I think he did a fabulous job, actually. It's very detailed and gives you a lot of information. So this is Joyce, the crackling voice. I've stayed on for a couple of hours to fill in for Chris Earle, who is not here today. And so I've been sharing this incredible double LP, Both Sides of the Sky, with you here, and we're going to listen to the last part of it here.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. What a joy. I hope you've enjoyed this extended Hendrix concert. So that was Cherokee Mist from Both Sides of the Sky on Legacy Recordings. It's a double LP set, and it was a gift my friend Mark to me for my birthday, and I hadn't had a chance to really hear it because one of my speakers is broken, and I really didn't want to hear it like that. So, all right, so we have time for one more selection, and this is Simone Dinnerstein, Far Cry, Circle Piano Concertos by Bach and Glass. And he wrote that after hearing her at the Glenn Gould Prize Concert in Ottawa, December 2016. Come to know her as a musician, the way she played. Music that I wrote for this new concerto was written in response, and I was very pleased with how the music turned out. Now, Philip Glass is actually going to be performing here, I just found out, so that's interesting. All right, here we go. I'll see you next week. Don't be late.